Throughout my life, I've been a great lover of music. In particular, music has this incredible ability to reach down within me and to pull up various emotions, memories, feelings, fears, anxieties, desires, things that are all operating below the surface. Sort of reaches down, brings them up, and puts them right in front of my perspective. I think musicians know that experience of performing. Great lovers of music know that experience of being moved by a concert or just listening to music on our own. I love the story that the accomplished, very accomplished pianist Karl Polnack tells. He talks about the greatest concert that he ever gave in his life. That didn't take place in Carnegie Hall or anywhere of notoriety, but of all places, it happened in a nursing home in Fargo, North Dakota. He was there with his friend to do a concert for the residents of the nursing home. And they began their concert without giving any introduction at all to the pieces of music that they were going to perform. But they started with Aaron Copland's Sonata for Violin and Piano. He said, halfway through that piece, an elderly man in a wheelchair began to cry. They noticed, the musicians noticed, and they carried on. And after they finished the piece, they said a little bit of history about that particular piece of music they had just played. They said that Copland wrote it during the Second World War, and he wrote it in dedication to a friend of his who was a pilot in the war who had been shot down. And when that man heard those details, he had to take himself out of the auditorium. He just couldn't bear it anymore. The musicians thought they'd never see him again. They thought he was gone. But after the concert, that man came backstage and said to the musicians, "I have no idea why this happened. I was a World War II pilot. I was in an aerial combat situation in which one of my friends in another plane was shot down. I watched him parachute out of his plane. I watched the Japanese fighters circle back and shoot the parachute cords to disconnect him from his chute, and I watched him fall into the ocean. I haven't thought about that for many, many years. But as soon as you began playing that first piece of music, it came back to me, and it was like I was reliving it. Then when you said that that new piece of music was written to commemorate a shot down fighter pilot, I had to take myself out of the room. It was too much for me to bear. Why does music have that effect? Why did that music pull that emotion, those memories out of me? It's one of the reasons why I love music. It has an incredible ability to bring things up, to put them before our eyes, to see what's going on below. Music has a power to reveal something of us to ourselves, something that we didn't know or didn't know that we knew, something that's there dormant, has that ability to awaken us to see it. And however great music's ability is to do that, it's nothing in comparison to the ability that an encounter with Jesus Christ has to reveal us to ourselves. I think that's what's happening in our gospel today, this great parable of the Good Samaritan. We have a lawyer, a man who is a scholar in the Torah. He approaches Jesus to dismiss him, to get him caught in some technicality in the law and his interpretation of the law so he can dismiss him. He can put his conscience at ease. He can tell his disciples to go scatter. And this scholar of the law, this lawyer, shows up to Jesus in wanting to appear totally polished, having everything in his life together. Yes, love the Lord your God with all your mind, your heart, your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, who's my neighbor? Who's equal to me? I do all these things. I'm a scholar. I've got it all together. But see, Jesus has no interest in entering into this legal debate with him. Jesus' only interest in this encounter is to save his soul. It's to get at him, to get underneath what's going on, what that facade is, to get to the truth of the matter. So Jesus addresses him a parable. This parable that we know so well, like the back of our hand, it's full of rich imagery and an allegory. Just that first sentence, we're told a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Just that much is filled with information. Jerusalem, an allegory, a sort of symbolism in and of itself of what it means to be in right relationship with God. In that place that literally is called the city of peace, up on the hill, place where God is worshipped in the temple. This man goes down from there toward Jericho, another incredibly significant town throughout Scripture, known for the other extreme, to be a place of godlessness, a place of isolation. And in the midst is this road, this 18-mile stretch, which had its own reputation for being filled with all sorts of violent people. It was an incredibly dangerous road to travel. It's likely that this conversation that Jesus has with this lawyer takes place on that road in a small town of Bethany, just about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. If we're reading through the Gospel of Luke, it's where Jesus will go next, right after this passage finishes. All this is going on. I think what Jesus is trying to do is to show this lawyer that he is that man on the side of the road. He's the man who's fallen victim to robbers because he's left Jerusalem. The lawyer thinks he's in right relationship with God. He thinks his understanding of what it means to be a pious Jew, he thinks he's got it all right. But Jesus shows him he's got it all wrong. The law does not exist to be weaponized. It exists to lead people into a closer relationship with God. So whether this man knows it or not, the lawyer has left Jerusalem. He's on his way down the road, away from that place of connection with God, toward Jericho, that place of isolation, of godlessness. It's led him to be all torn up, beaten up, bleeding out, left for dead on the side of the road. And he doesn't even know it. It's almost as if Jesus is saying to him, look, man, your life's a mess. You think you've got it all together, but you don't. You're there, bleeding out. You're waiting for people to stop and help you. The priests and the Levites, they're not going to stop and help you. They're just as messed up as you are. But the one who will stop and help you is the one who fundamentally challenges what you're holding on to, the law. Me. I'm challenging that. And because of that, you only see me as nothing but a Samaritan, as someone who challenges the fundamental beliefs that you hold so dear. But I'm the one who will refresh you. I'm the one who will pick you up, dress your wounds, put you on my own animal, take you to an inn and provide for you. Jesus doesn't want to enter into a debate with this man. He wants to save him. But before he can save this man, he has to first make him realize that he's lost, that he's wounded, that he's hurt. I think in a particular way, my brothers and sisters, that this is a parable for each and every one of us. Because how often can we see ourselves in relationship with God like this lawyer? I'm basically a good person. I'm doing okay. I haven't killed anybody this week. I haven't cheated on my spouse. I haven't embezzled money. I haven't been an imposter. In fact, there are far worse people out there in the world. There are terrible murderers and traffickers and smugglers and drug dealers and all sorts of things that are worse off than I am. They need this whole thing of conversion, but I'm good. I come to Mass on Sunday. I put my envelope in the collection basket. I go to confession once in a while. See, Jesus isn't interested in that. He's not interested in us being spiritually mediocre. He wants us to be saints, and saints means that we pursue excellence. It means that we have the courage to go to him and say, Lord, show me how I'm wounded. Show me how I am that man on the side of the road, wounded and in bitter pain at how my own turning back, my back on you has caused me harm. How it's made me fall victim to robbers on that way down from the place where I should be worshiping you to the place where you're not worshiped at all. It's a parable that each one of us needs to hear. We need to hear Jesus saying to us, look, your life's a mess. You're not as good as you think you are. But that's exactly why I've come into the world. Because it's not just about figuring out what's wrong with us and wallowing in it. But every wound, every place where we are in pain is an opportunity for miracles. It's an opportunity for that grace of God to enter into our lives and radically transform us, to bind us up and heal us and make us better off than we were before. The first step in solving a problem is admitting that there is one. Typically, we get angry that our prayers go unanswered. Well, here's a prayer for you that's never gone unanswered for me. When I go to the chapel and ask the Lord to show me how I'm imperfect, Lord, show me what I need to work on. I think I'm good. I've gotten over this sin. I've got that habit out of my life. Now show me the next step. It's a scary thing. The Lord always answers that prayer, sometimes in dramatic and in painful ways, but it's only in recognizing our condition and how desperately we need his grace and his healing that he's able to work in us. The fathers of the church saw beautifully that when Jesus tells this parable, the Good Samaritan brings the man to an inn. That inn, that building, is the church. It's that place where we are richly provided for. Imagine Jesus picking us up off the road, tending to our wounds, and bringing us into this place, this church, where by his precious blood, he's provided for us food. He's provided for us washing in confession, to be clean, to be purified, to continue to be healed, and not to wallow in our pain. My brothers and sisters, what's on offer to us is an incredible gift of God, if only we knew it. If only we knew it, and if only we knew how desperately we need it. It all begins with Jesus Christ revealing us to ourselves. For that pianist, he said that was the greatest concert he'd ever performed in his life because it helped somebody have something about themselves revealed to them in an immensely greater way. The greatest miracle that Jesus' disciples got to see on a daily basis was Jesus having encounters with people and revealing them to themselves. That's an amazing miracle because it's the fruit of even greater things that he is willing to accomplish even at this Mass as we prepare to receive his body, blood, soul, and divinity from that altar. I don't know why music has such an incredible power, but I do know why Jesus Christ does. Because he's God. He created us, and he loves us. He wants us to put off anything that keeps us from him, anything that keeps us there on the road, waiting for somebody else to pick us up. He wants us to reach out to him, to see in him that Good Samaritan who puts us on his shoulders, brings us to the church, and provides for us richly at this great altar, at his sacrifice.